Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Internet companies hang on to a key legal shield. For Marketplace, I'm Nova Safo, in for David Brancaccio. First, there could be a debt ceiling vote soon. Both the White House and congressional leaders say negotiators are making progress. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the latest.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters he thinks negotiators will reach a deal to raise or suspend the debt limit in time for a House vote on it next week. McCarthy sounded more optimistic than he did last week. He says negotiations are in a much better place. Some congressional Democrats aren't so happy, though. They're pushing back against McCarthy's demands for stricter work requirements for some federal aid programs like SNAP. Congressman Ro Khanna of California said he would strongly consider voting against the bill if stronger work requirements were added. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders complained that Senate Democrats weren't getting updates on the talks and don't know what's happening. The White House says there's been steady progress. President Biden had a 20 to 30 minute chat with his negotiators and, quote, made clear the need to protect essential programs. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In a pair of rulings yesterday, the Supreme Court decided in favor of Twitter in a case brought by the family of a victim of a terrorist attack. The family accused the social media company of aiding extremist groups because their content appeared on its platform. The High Court also sidestepped the need to directly address a legal shield known as Section 230, which protects social media companies from being held liable for what users publish. Dina Temple Raston explains.
The justices focused their attention mostly on Twitter versus Tomna, which was looking at the question of whether Twitter's content encouraged a terrorist attack on a Turkish nightclub. And the long and short of it is that the court said it didn't think platforms were responsible. As they saw it, a neutral recommendation algorithm can't be seen as aiding and abetting terrorists. And the justices said their decision in Tomna informs this second case, Google versus Gonzalez. That's a case that asks whether YouTube and its parent Google should be liable for radicalizing young men who attacked Paris in 2015 because their recommendations algorithm fed them ISIS content. Naomi Gonzalez is an American student who was killed in those attacks. Tomna, the justices said, resolves that question. So they sent the Gonzalez case back to the Ninth Circuit, and they said that the judges there could look at one little part of the case that Tomna doesn't address, whether Google's revenue-sharing model provided revenue to ISIS and in that way somehow aided and abetted a terrorist group. So it looks like Section 230 lives another day, though Justice Jackson hinted that this wasn't over. She wrote that the decision was a narrow one, and they could decide differently if the facts of a future case were also different. For Marketplace, I'm Dina Temple Raston.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, recognize that music. Taylor Swift fans are definitely ready for it. Tonight is the first of three sold-out shows at a football stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. That's near Boston. It's the latest stop on Swift's Eras Tour, which has brought throngs of fans to cities around the country, including a member of our own staff. The tour's economic impact is one few other artists can replicate, as Marketplace's Henry Epp reports.
Back in January, hairdressers at a dry bar hair salon in Houston started seeing a lot of bookings for one particular weekend in April.
At first, we were all like, what's going on that weekend?
Jamie James manages the salon.
We were all like trying to figure out what was happening.
Maybe it was prom or something? Nope. Taylor Swift was coming to town and her diehard fans wanted to look good for the Eras Tour.
The clients that are coming in are probably going to want different hairstyles from her different eras.
James and her colleagues studied up on those styles, and it paid off. She says they booked close to 100 more clients than usual that weekend. Economic effects like this are playing out everywhere Swift stops.
Parking and restaurants and just everything around those venues is going to be chocked to the gills with people.
David Herlihy is a professor in the music industry program at Northeastern University. He says Swift herself really stands to profit. He estimates she'll make $5 to $7 million a night just on tickets.
She's also selling hundreds of thousands of pieces of merchandise for every concert, and she's getting 85% of that revenue.
Some of that money will be coming from Carrie Simonelli of Lincoln, Rhode Island. As she wrote in an essay for the Boston Globe, she's the mom of two teenage girls who are huge Taylor Swift fans, especially her youngest daughter, Meredith.
She has like a Taylor Swift collage behind her bed and she prints out song lyrics.
Simonelli found herself among the thousands of people waiting in endless virtual lines on Ticketmaster's website last November. That well-publicized fiasco led to lawsuits and a congressional hearing. She was finally able to get two tickets for this Sunday's show for nearly $900.
But I was like, this is it. This is your birthday present. This is part of your Christmas present. Don't ask for anything else.
It's tempting to think this tour is a sign that the live music industry is thriving post-pandemic, but it's more complicated than that, says Andrew Leff, a professor of music industry at USC.
There are really two music industries going on right now, one for the 1% and one for the 99%.
Leff says less popular artists than Swift face high touring costs and venues and promoters who are trying to make up for lost pandemic years.
They're going to go with the sure bets or the traditional artists that they know will bring in revenue rather than taking chances on younger artists.
Still, he's planning to take his daughter to see Taylor Swift when she comes to Los Angeles in August. They paid about $225 per ticket. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
And finally, you can now download ChatGPT directly on iPhones. OpenAI, the company behind the chatbot, posted an app version on Apple's App Store. I downloaded it and asked what he can do for me, and one of the answers? Have general conversations. A brave new world. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.